Chapter 9. Sabrina watched her uncle pack up the traveler's chest. An hour later, the same rabbit and tortoise that delivered it came and picked it up. The rabbit hoisted it onto his partner's shell and walked it over to the little truck. Moments later, they were gone, along with the only hope the family had of ever seeing Goldilocks again.
"We could go back and change your mind," Sabrina pleaded, as the family watched the truck disappear down the road.
"She said no, Sabrina," Jake exclaimed, though speaking still hurt his voice.
"None of you care," Sabrina raged at her family. "None of you care whether Mom and Dad ever wake up."
She raced upstairs to the room where her parents slept, nestled herself between their bodies, and cried into her hands. Her old thoughts of anger toward Everafters surfaced. Most were betrayers. Others couldn't be counted on. She wept openly, not caring if Mirror or anyone else, for that matter, heard her railing at the world around her. Mirror's face appeared briefly in the reflection, but then faded away. She silently thanked him for letting her be alone. She lay there for hours, her face and neck drenched in tears, until eventually she was too exhausted to continue. After a long while, she got to her feet and went out into the hallway. There she found Granny, Uncle Jake, Briar, and Elvis sitting on the hardwood floor, obviously waiting for her. They all had expressions of concern mixed with forced smiles. Granny took Sabrina by the hand.
"Sabrina."
Sabrina pulled away.
"I can't take a lecture right now."
"I was going to say, I was sorry. I know how heartbroken you feel. We feel it as well, dear. We had the same hopes that you did."
Sabrina nodded sadly.
"Where's Daphne?"
"She's in your room,"
the old woman said.
"You might want to leave her alone,"
Uncle Jake said.
"Why?"
"She's a little angry right now," he replied.
"I know how she feels,"
Sabrina said, ignoring the warning. She turned and walked down the hall and entered her bedroom. There, she found Daphne sitting at Henry's desk, braiding her hair into her familiar pigtails. She had taken off Sabrina's clothes and was now wearing a pair of cotton candy-colored pajamas with little stars on them. Her face was cleanly scrubbed of the lip gloss, and she had folded Sabrina's clothes neatly and set them on the bed.
"Are you okay?"
Sabrina said.
"We don't have to talk about it, Sabrina,"
the little girl said.
"In fact, I'd rather not."
Sabrina was taken back by her sister's attitude.
"You're angry about the weapon. Well, I can explain."
"I don't want to talk about it,"
Daphne interrupted.
"Well, I think we should. I want to explain my side of what happened."
Daphne burst into tears.
"How are you going to explain that you stole from me, kept a secret, and lied about it? How are you going to explain that you betrayed me?"
"You don't even know what betrayed means."
"Yes, I do,"
Daphne said, heaving a new paperback dictionary at her sister.
"I looked it up."
Sabrina bent down and picked up her sister's dictionary.
"Yes, I lied to you. I stole the key and snuck out and took the weapon without you knowing. You were too young to have that kind of responsibility, and you refused to see the danger we are in, so I did it." "You treat me like I'm a baby, Sabrina. I'm not a baby."
"I have a reason to be angry, too. You've been walking around here for days, wearing my clothes, mocking me. I've seen you roll your eyes and your snarky comments. You think it's nice to be made fun of?"
"I wasn't making fun of you, Sabrina. I was trying to be more like you. You're my role model,"
Daphne said.
"I was dressing like you and wearing my hair like yours because I was trying to grow up a little. I wanted to be more like my sister, but not anymore."
Sabrina looked at the stack of clothing on the bed.
"I think I'll go back to being myself. I like me,"
Daphne said. Sabrina searched for words, but they were jumbled like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that didn't fit together.
"I wasn't making fun of you. I love you," though I don't like you very much," the little girl said. "And it's obvious to me that you don't like me much either."
"That's not true," Sabrina said.
"I'm not going to bother you any more. I'm sleeping in Granny's room tonight. Tomorrow, Mr. Borman and Mr. Swinehart are going to come over and build me my own bedroom," her sister said. She finished with her hair and got up from the desk. "Hand it over."
Sabrina shuffled her feet.
"What, the kazoo?"
"You can't handle it. It's magic, Sabrina. Give it to me."
"But..."
Daphne shook her head.
"Don't argue with me. Just hand it over."
Sabrina dug into her pocket for the kazoo. Her fingers tingled when she touched it. It made her feel good, but she knew that feeling was false. She knew her sister was right. She took it out of her pocket and handed it to Daphne.
"I have something of yours," the little girl said, digging into her overalls.
She pulled a tube of lip gloss out of her pocket and placed it into Sabrina's hand. Then she walked into the hallway and closed the door behind her. Sabrina bit her lip so hard she tasted blood. She wanted to cry, but couldn't anymore. Puck had been right. He had warned her that the truth would come out, and when it did, it would be ugly. That's the only thing he got wrong. It wasn't just ugly. It was horrible. The next morning, Robin and Little John arrived bright and early.
"We've got some bad news," Little John said when Granny asked them in.
"The tape is missing," Robin explained. "Everything Hatchet said is gone. We've got no evidence."
"What happened?"
Sabrina cried.
"We don't know, but we have our suspicions," Robin said. "You know that snail on the jury? The one with the scarlet hand mark on his chest?"
"Sure," Daphne said.
"Well, this morning when I woke up, the tape was gone, and there was a trail of slime leading to the front door. The place smelled like apple tobacco, too."
"We don't have a lot of hope if the jury is trying to sabotage our case," Little John replied.
"Worse still, Bluebeard is calling Red Riding Hood to the stand today. I'm sure she'll back up Hatchet's story," Robin said.
"Maybe not," Daphne said, as she removed the kazoo from her pocket. "I have an idea that might put a whammy into Bluebeard's case."
"A whammy?" Robin Hood asked.
"It's my new word. It means something no one saw coming."
Little John scooped Daphne up into his arms.
"Well, young lady, we could really use a whammy right about now."
Nurse Spratt seemed startled when the group returned to the hospital. She nearly choked on her pork chop sandwich.
"You want to see her again? No one ever wants to see her again."
She led the group down the familiar hallway and unlocked Red's door. The child was sitting at the same little table having the same tea party she had had the last time they had visited. Sabrina wondered if Red had even gone to bed. Before Spratt could lock them in, Sabrina turned to her.
"Would you happen to have an empty jar with a tight lid?"
"Why?"
Spratt asked. "Let's just say it's going to make your job here at the hospital a lot easier."
Spratt shrugged.
"I'll check,"
she said, then locked the door.
"You came back,"
Red said, clapping her hands.
"Please sit, have some tea."
Daphne sat down at the table.
"I'd love some,"
Daphne said, as she took the kazoo from her pocket. Sabrina stood behind her.
"Red, do you remember when we said you were sick inside your brain?"
Red nodded.
"Well, how would you like to feel better?"
Red clapped.
"Then I can go home."
Robin joined the girls at the table.
"Girls, I'm worried about this. Daphne has never tried to use this kazoo before. If what you say is true, it can demolish a house with one little puff."
"I've used it a couple of times. It kind of does what you want it to,"
Sabrina explained.
Except for the time you destroyed the bank, Puck reminded her.
Okay. About 50% of the time, it works like a charm.
I'm still a bit confused, Little John said. Are you planning to blow this crazy child into the next county? What good will that do us?
It does more than blow houses down. Right, Daphne?
Sabrina said.
The little girl nodded. It cures the mentally insane.
Maybe you should turn it on yourself, 'cause you sound crazy, Puck replied.
Sabrina was about to roll her eyes, but she caught herself. She looked to Daphne for permission to continue explaining. The little girl nodded again. Let me start from the very beginning. We know from the story of Red Riding Hood that her mother sent her into the forest with a basket of food to deliver to her grandmother. That part of the story has always been a little odd. Who sends a child into the woods where wild animals live? That is not good parenting.
Good point, Uncle Jake said.
We think Mr. Hatchet told us the reason, though I doubt he meant to. The truth is, Red's family was at their wits' end with her. They were desperate. They sent her to the grandmother's because they were hoping she could do something to help her.
My mommy and daddy love me,
Red said.
They wanted you to get better, Sabrina said to the girl. Red nodded and hugged a stuffed doll with a missing head. Hatchet says Red's granny was a witch, and when he showed up, she was blowing a little flute that could manipulate the wind. Well, he got it wrong. It wasn't a flute. It was a kazoo.
Daphne held it up for everyone to see. Sabrina continued.
Red's grandmother either found the kazoo or created it herself. From Hatchet's version, it could control the wind. But we think it does more than that. The kazoo creates a wind that literally blows the insanity out of a person. When Hatchet and Canis stumbled upon the grandmother's house, they watched the witch blow the madness out of a rabid wolf. She bottled it up, but she wasn't doing this to heal a sick animal. She was testing the kazoo to make sure it worked before she tried it on her granddaughter.
She was trying to fix Red, Granny marveled.
Sabrina nodded. At least we think she was. Mr. Canis, or Tobias Clay, or whatever his name was, just got in the way. He was trying to be a hero and save Red. He is the real hero woodcutter from the story, not Howard Hatchet.
And you want to try this on Red?
Hatchet told us it was dangerous. The madness from the rabid wolf merged with Mr. Canis to become the big bad wolf, Uncle Jake said. What happens if Red's madness slips into one of us? The wolf part of Canis is completely insane. Canis has never been able to fully control it.
We have to be careful, Sabrina said.
There was a knock at the door, and when the locks were all undone, it swung open. Nurse Spratt held a glass jar in her nervous hands.
Here, she cried,
then shoved it into Sabrina's hands and slammed the door tight.
This jar will do the trick, I hope, Sabrina said.
If the three pigs had had a jar when they beat the wolf and took the kazoo from him, we might have been rid of the monster for good. But they had no idea what the kazoo was capable of. They just thought it was how the wolf huffed and puffed his way around town. But when they turned it on him, the wolf was gone and Canis was left behind. The rabid wolf's insanity left Canis, allowing him to take control of his body, even when the insanity swirled back into him. But, as we've been seeing, he wasn't that much in control, and he's slowly changing back.
So, if we can trap Red's insanity in a jar, then she can tell what she remembers from that day? Robin asked.
Sabrina nodded.
The only chance of saving Canis is if an ever-after stands up for him. If we fix Red, she can do that for us.
It doesn't hurt that she's in the Scarlet Hand, Uncle Jake added.
Should I do it now? Daphne asked. Yes. When I turned it on the Black Knight, I concentrated on having the power affect him only. I think the wind will do what you ask it to.
Sabrina encouraged her sister. Daphne raised the kazoo to her lips and blew. The wind blasted out of it, upending the dolls, tea set, and anything else that wasn't nailed down. The people, however, seemed unfazed, except for their hair flying around. Red Riding Hood glanced around her and started to laugh.
"Bad weather," she shrieked. "Very bad weather."
The wind swirled around her like a snake. It crept around every limb, embraced her tightly, and then pulled back. Red cried out in pain as the group watched something horrible and black seep out of her. To call it a person would be wrong. It was more like an animal with fangs and with eyes like bottomless pits. To Sabrina, it looked like some horribly mutated worm seeking revenge on a fisherman. It whipped around in midair, desperate to reach Red Riding Hood, but the wind kept it at bay. It shrieked angrily.
"Now, Sabrina!" Granny cried.
Sabrina opened the glass jar and reached out to the creature. It thrashed about as Daphne forced it into the jar. Once it was inside, Sabrina quickly tightened the lid and the wind vanished. She watched her sister look at the little kazoo and slip it back into her pocket. Then she turned to Red Riding Hood. The strange girl had collapsed to the ground and lay still.
"She's hurt," Robin Hood said, as he rushed to her side. But his concerns proved to be unwarranted.
Red opened her eyes slowly and looked up into the face of Granny Relda.
"Grandmother?" she asked.
Sabrina's heart sank. She had been wrong. She believed they could really heal the girl, and that she in turn could save Mr. Canis. But Red was just as crazy as before. The weapon had not done what she had hoped it would. The door to the room flew open and slammed against the wall. Sabrina looked up and saw Bluebeard and Nottingham barging into the room, along with half a dozen card soldiers armed with swords.
"Sorry, Grimms," Nottingham said. "We have to take our witness to the trial."
One of the card soldiers dragged Red to her feet and pulled her from the room.
"I do hope you had enough time to question her," Bluebeard said, "though I suspect you didn't get too many straight answers out of her."
Nottingham and Bluebeard roared with laughter as they left the room.
"See you in court,"
Bluebeard cried back over his shoulder. "The trial starts in 15 minutes. The family rushed to the courthouse and pushed their way through the crowd at the entrance. There were no seats left, and they were forced to stand in the back of the room. Mayor Hart made her way over to the family. She had a wicked grin on her face. Her crooked yellow teeth made Sabrina's stomach turn more than her mean-spirited comments.
"Looks like today's the day we wrap this all up, Grimms. I suspect your wolf will meet the nooseman by this time tomorrow."
Granny frowned as the woman walked away.
"Isn't she a delight?"
Judge Hatter entered the courtroom and made his way to the front where his desk once stood. Since he had smashed it with a sledgehammer the day before, it had been replaced with a stack of milk crates. He didn't seem to notice. The Four of Spades called for order and announced the judge as he sat down.
"Let's get started," Judge Hatter said. "We can't exactly get ended, can we? No, I suppose we can't. Can we? Or is it may we? We may. No, we may not. Mr. Bluebeard, do you have a new witness?"
Bluebeard stood up from his desk and surveyed the crowd. He had a smug look on his face, and he beamed at everyone, including Sabrina and her family.
"Indeed I do. In fact, she's our last witness. I call Little Red Riding Hood to the stand."
The crowd fell silent as if their words were forcefully stuffed back into their mouths. The double doors in the back opened and a card soldier escorted Red to the stand. He helped her into her seat and stood nearby, watching her closely.
"Does the witness need to be watched?"
Hatter asked.
The card soldier nodded. "This one is especially dangerous. She's mentally deranged, sir."
"Oh!"
Hatter said with delight. How exciting! What does he do? Eat people? Push people out of windows? Throw knives?
All of the above, I believe.
The judge clapped like a happy child.
It's nice to not feel so alone.
Bluebeard, ask your questions. The lawyer approached the little girl, but even he kept a safe distance from her. When she looked up into his face, he smiled, but she sat there stone-faced and gazing around as if lost in thought.
Precious girl, Bluebeard started, you have been through so much. I hate to put you through any more, but we need to get to the truth. We have a man on trial for his life, so I hope you'll be brave and answer some questions.
Red continued gazing about. Sabrina had seen this expression before. The little lunatic was probably having another delusion.
Red, we've already established that your parents sent you to see your grandmother and asked you to take a basket of food and medicine. Do you know why they sent you?
Mama told me Granny was sick, Red said.
Your grandmother was sick? How sad. So you went through the woods following a path to her house. When you got there, what did you see?
A monster,
Red said. Bluebeard smiled.
Can you point out that monster?
Without as much as a glance, Red pointed at Mr. Canis.
Let the record show that the child pointed at the accused, the lawyer said,
then turned his attention back to Red.
Where was your grandmother when you arrived?
The wolf ate her,
Red said softly.
That's terrible,
Bluebeard said overdramatically. He looked as if he might burst into tears, but Sabrina knew he was acting.
I'm sure you know this, but the story of what happened has been spread far and wide. In one version, you came into the house and found the wolf hiding in your grandmother's bed. Is that what happened?
Red nodded.
Why would he do that?
Bluebeard asked.
He wanted to trick me, so he could eat me too,
Red said.
Luckily, a woodcutter came and saved your life,
Bluebeard said as he turned to the jury. His face was pure confidence.
No, that's not what happened.
Bluebeard's face fell. He spun around to face Red once more.
I'm sorry, child. Maybe you misunderstood what I said. I was talking about the brave woodcutter who saved your life.
Red shook her head.
I heard what you said. I said that isn't what happened. I found the woodcutter hiding in the fields.
Then how did you escape the wolf?
Bluebeard asked.
Because he saved me from himself,
Red said, pointing at Mr. Canis. The crowd broke into excited chatter. Hatter pounded a gavel down on the stack of milk crates. They collapsed before him. With nothing to pound on, he slammed the gavel into his own head.
Order! The jury should be careful about what the witness says. She's mentally ill,
Bluebeard said.
Objection, Robin Hood cried. If her testimony can't be trusted, then why is she here? She's either telling the whole truth or telling a whole lie. Order!
Hatter demanded, slamming his head against a wall.
Mr. Bluebeard, do you have any more questions?
Bluebeard looked frantic.
No, sir.
Judge Hatter, however, had some of his own.
You say the creature who murdered your grandmother saved your life?
Red nodded.
My grandmother was trying to heal me. I've struggled with my sanity since I was a baby. She was a witch, and she had a plan, but it blew up around her. The result was she created the big bad wolf, and that poor man, the one they call Mr. Canis, was the real victim. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't mean to kill my grandmother, but he couldn't stop himself. Lucky for me, he got control over himself for a brief moment, and begged me to run.
You say you've dealt with your sanity for a long time, Hatter said. I know crazy, and you seem perfectly fine to me.
Red scanned the crowd and found Sabrina and her family. She smiled.
I'm feeling much better.
Objection! Bluebeard cried. We are finished with this witness.
Judge Hatter snarled at Bluebeard.
I say when a witness is ready to go.
It's true that the wolf killed my grandma, but I don't think he could control himself. He was out of his mind. I know how that feels. I've done terrible things. I know it. The wolf is dangerous, but he does not deserve to die.
Objection!
Mayor Hart roared from her seat.
Your Honor, we rest our case, Bluebeard said frantically. We'd like the jury to make its decision.
Hatter shrugged.
Fine with me. We'll take a 1-hour break to allow the jury to decide. So, we don't get to question this witness either? Robin Hood shouted. Objection!
Hatter shouted.
I beg your pardon, said the bewildered lawyer. I object, the judge replied. You're the judge. You don't get to object, Robin cried. Well, I object to not being allowed to object. I find it objectionable, Hatter replied. The court finds the wolf not guilty.
He slammed his head with the gavel and then prepared to leave.
Your Honor, Bluebeard cried. The jury has to vote on whether the wolf is guilty. You can't do that yourself.
Oh, another of your silly rules, the judge said. Very well. I declare a recess. 1 hour.
Judge Hatter got off his chair and raced through the aisle toward the double doors. Sabrina watched him pass, marveling at the fact that his neck could support his monstrous head and nose. As soon as he left, the crowd surged out behind him. The family congregated at Briar Rose's coffee shop. Briar took a break and sat with them, but not before she brought everyone fresh muffins and steaming cups of coffee. Sabrina, Puck, and Daphne were treated to chocolate milk with whipped cream on top. The princess sat next to Uncle Jake and kissed him on the cheek. Sabrina watched Briar's fairy godmothers stew with anger.
They're going to turn me into a frog, Uncle Jake said, grinning.
Well, I won't be the first princess in this town to date an amphibian, Briar said.
What do you think Canis's chances are? Uncle Jake asked Granny. The old woman sipped her coffee.
Who can say? The judge is pretty unpredictable.
The judge is a certifiable nutbag, Puck said.
Granny nodded.
But he doesn't seem to be in Mayor Hart's pocket, either. I think they thought that having an insane person as the judge might sway things in their favor. I don't think it's turning out that way. He's proving to be unpredictable for us all.
Maybe too unpredictable, Sabrina said.
I think Judge Hatter is the Scarlet Hand's whammy, Daphne said, as she brushed whipped cream off her nose.
Just then, one of Robin Hood's merry men came running into the coffee shop. He was out of breath and so excited he could barely speak.
The jury is back,
he gasped. Everyone jumped up from their seats and followed the lawyer at a run until they got back to the courtroom. The double doors were closed, and two card soldiers blocked the way.
Court is in session. No one can enter,
the Eight of Diamonds said.
You let me in right now, or I swear the two of you will get the shuffling of your life, Granny said.
Befuddled, the guards stepped aside, and Granny threw the doors open. Every person in the packed courtroom turned to gape at the noisy newcomers.
As I was saying, Judge Hatter said, has the jury reached a verdict?
The man in the black cloak stood up from his seat. He held a folded piece of paper in his hands.
We have, he said.
There was something familiar about his voice, but Sabrina couldn't place it.
Very good. Read your verdict, Hatter replied.
The man cleared his throat and unfolded the paper. "We, the jury, find the accused guilty of murder."
Sabrina gasped. Most of the audience cheered, though Sabrina heard some angry boos coming from their loyal friends. The noise banged against Sabrina's eardrums like a wooden spoon on an old pot. She felt dizzy and sick to her stomach. Granny and Daphne looked no better.
"I see," Hatter said when the crowd grew quiet. "Then I suppose we need to sentence him. And I tell you, folks, I'm going to give him a full sentence.
Not a sentence fragment, but a whole sentence with a verb and a noun, and possibly an adjective. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a conjunction in there as well. I can't stand these judges who run around with their half-baked sentences. That's how you get salmonella poisoning. Thus, I sentence the wolf to death by hanging." The crowd leaped to its feet. Some were dancing and clapping. Others laughed and howled with twisted joy. Only Sabrina, her family, Briar Rose, Snow White, and their ever-after friends were broken-hearted.
"Order! Order in the court!"
Hatter cried, striking his head with his gavel again.
"The wolf will be hanged tomorrow in the center of town at noon. I believe we should make an example out of the monster. This case is over!"
Hatter leaped to his feet and rushed out of the room. Bluebeard, however, stood beaming proudly at the Grimms. Robin Hood and Little John pushed through the crowd to them. Their long faces spoke a thousand words of remorse. Granny thanked them for trying, then moved to the front of the court, where Mr. Canis was being dragged away by a dozen soldiers.
"Old friend," she said.
"Old friend," Canis said, his features now almost completely those of the wolf's.
"We'll work on another way," Granny said. "There's no reason to worry."
Canis shook his head.
"It's over, Relda Grimm. It is how I want it."
He turned and allowed the guards to lead him out of the courtroom. Daphne hugged her grandmother and wept into the old woman's dress. Tears were rolling down Granny's face as well. Even Uncle Jake was shaken and pale. Puck, however, was furious.
"I'm going to rescue him," he shouted angrily.
His wings sprang from his back and his eyes turned coal black. He snatched his sword from his waist and flew toward the door that Canis had been led through, but Granny pulled him back by his foot.
"No, Puck. He needs our help, old lady,"
Puck shouted.
"No, not here. Not this way. If you go after him, they will arrest you next. Stay with us, Puck. I can't bear to lose another member of my family."
"What now?" Sabrina asked her grandmother. For the first time since she had met the old woman, her granny was speechless. She seemed dumbstruck by something at the far end of the room. Sabrina followed her gaze and saw the man in the black cloak staring back at them. Bluebeard joined him and shook his hand, as did Hart and Nottingham. And then something so much more shocking occurred than even Canis's death sentence. The man reached up and removed his hood, revealing his identity. The man in the cloak was Prince William Charming. Snow White saw the unveiling as well. Her already pale complexion grew whiter. She bit her lower lip and a tear rolled down her cheek. She turned to Granny Relda.
"I'm sorry," she whispered. "I can't be here."
Snow turned and ran out of the room. Charming watched her go, but then turned back to his new friends. Sabrina glared at the man like he was mold on the bottom of a toilet. She had never trusted Charming, but she had secretly hoped that Daphne was right about him. The little girl always believed he was a hero waiting for an opportunity. Even though he had come to the family's aid occasionally, Sabrina had continued to have her doubts. It had never felt so miserable to be so right.